Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Tzadik Hei. And we're holding the third line from the top of the Amud, a brand new Mishnah, Rabbi Yisai. A Geshmaka Mishnah. Zuk the Mishnah. Misha hoya nosui beiz noshim. A person was married to two women. Umachar esodeyu. And he sold his field. And as we know, anytime a person is married, automatically there is a ksuba. And the ksuba has a din not only of a monetary obligation, but there's a shibud on all of that person's nechasim. So now, when the person got married to the two noshim, automatically the choiv, which is reflected and evidenced by those two ksuvois, they have priority over the mechira of this field. So now, when the husband decides to go and sell the field, v'kosva rishoina l'loikeach, the first of the two women told the lekeach, don't be noivis that la'achamei ve'esrim, or if there's a get, that I'm going to go and take this field away from you based on my lien because of my ksuba. Don't worry. Din udvarim ein li'imach. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to chapel with you. It's going to remain with you. That's what the Rishoina said. She was very gracious, obviously. The Shnia, however, didn't do that. And she was silent. Okay. Fast forward now 10 years, 20 years. Now comes time to collect on the ksubas. And it also, we find that the estate, unfortunately, has no money. So guess what? The two ksuba ladies are entitled to lechoira. The two ksuba ladies are entitled to go and try to cash in on their ksuba. There is no nechosim nechoirin, so they're entitled to go and take from mishubadim. So this particular lekeach, as you'll recall, he had the benefit of the first lady saying to him that dinu dvarim ein li'imach. But the shnia, however, didn't say that. The second one can take it away from the lekeach because she didn't say anything. And since her document, her shibud, predates the sale of this property, so this property, when it was sold to the lekeach, had on it the lien. So therefore, she can go and take it away. So far, the Mishnah is not telling us any great chidushim. However, what the Mishnah is going to tell us now is something fascinating. So far so good. Remember, we have over here three characters in this display, in what we're talking about. The three people are, we have the first woman, that is the first wife, we have the second wife, and then we have the lekeach. Under normal circumstances, both women would have a lien on this property. However, the first woman was gracious and said to the lekeach, don't worry, dinu dvarim ein li, I am not going to chapel with you. We're never going to go to court. You have nothing to worry about me. So therefore, now when it comes to collecting the ksuba, and unfortunately there are no b'nei choyrin, the Rishoina said, okay, Rishoina, why don't you go and collect from this property? No, I said, my word is gold. Whatever I said is 100%. Therefore, I'm not going to go and collect. Okay, but the Shnia is allowed to collect. So the Shnia took away the property. And guess what happened? After the Shnia got the property, now the Rishoina and Ashnia. The Rishoina only said, Din Dvarim Ein Li Imach. I'm not going to have a Din Torah with you. I'm never going to fight with you. But she didn't say anything about the Shnia. As far as the Shnia is concerned, the Rishoina has a lien prior to the Shnia. So she said, Legabit Lekeach. I said, Lekeach, I'm not going to touch you. But if you, Shnia, you're taking it from the Lekeach, I'm going to take it away from you. Okay, so now the Rishoina took it away from the Shnia.
The first one is the ksuba meshubah to the other ksubas. That's what he seems to be saying.
This property has both liens on it, but lien number one of the Rishoina, she waived the right, and she said, then it's dvarim ainli.
So, exkluded of nothing. You have a lien, I have a lien on that also.
Okay.
That's what it seems to be.
Well, there are two liens. It's like, just like by mortgages today. You have the first mortgage and the second mortgage.
This.
So you have the first mortgage of the first lady.
What is the shine you take from the Shnia? The Shnia doesn't owe her anything.
She doesn't owe her anything, but vis-a-vis this property, she has a prior lien to the Shnia. And so therefore the Rishoina says, I can go and take it away from the Lekeach, but I can take it away from you, because I happen to be first in right over you, over any property.
The question is, we're not sure we're giving her right.
I'm sorry?
By saying that to the person, she got no rights.
She only gave rights vis-a-vis the lekech, and not vis-a-vis this property.
Okay.
Barry would say it's only against the gavra, not against the cheftza. As far as lekech, medea, lechnishchepen, I'm not going to hire any dentitis, we're never going to hire any lawyers, but this property belongs to me because I have priority over you.
She made a kinyan, maybe she can't.
The kinyan is staying in the Gemara. We haven't gotten to the kinyan. Anyway, so the Rishoyna gets now from the Shnia. I know it's fascinating, but let's not get off track over here. So Shnia takes it away from the Lekech because she has rights over the Lekech. Her lien goes before the Lekech's lien. However, the Rishoyna has her lien before the Shnia's lien. So the Rishoyna takes it away from the Shnia. Now, the Lekech says to Rishoyna, hey, Rishoyna, it originally was mine because it was sold to me. And you agreed to me that dinu dvorim eini b'nechsayeth, not b'nechasecha. I'm not going to go and fight with you. And therefore, the Lekech takes away from the Rishoyna. The Lekech says, Rishoyna, you said you're not going to take away my rights. This property was mine. I'm taking it back. And guess what happens? And then the Shnia says, yeah, but I have a date prior to yours. And then what happens? And the Rishoyna says, but mine be goes before you. And then the Lekech says, and of course, as you can see that this is very... And therefore says the Mishnah not Chazredim, but it says V'choizroiz Chalila. Choizroiz Chalila means that this is circular and keeps on going forever and ever, not in a vicious circle, but in a circle. And therefore, since nobody can go and say the buck stops here because the circle keeps on draying, the wheel keeps on rolling, and the all three are going to have to sit down and try to work out a settlement between them. And this Mishnah says we can find the exact type of scenario exactly what that means. We'll see Mitchum at the very end of today's daf what that means, but it's also a case of a circular type of thing. Yeah.
Then we talk about if the Shnia comes before the Rishayna, if Masha Govi Govi. It seems to be. That's why the Rishayna has a right.
Yeah, but the only reason why Masha Govi Govi is only because there's no Rishayna around. But here, the Rishayna is standing here. When the Shnia wants to grab the property, the Rishayna says to her, I'm not going to allow you to take this property because I'm before you. I'm not going to go in a dentoida with Ruvain, the guy that bought the property. Maskim. But once you're trying to take it away, I'm going to intervene in the lawsuit and I'm going to go and take it away from you because I have rights against you.
The Shnei never took possession.
Exactly. Oh, and we're going to see the Mitchum anymore also.
I assume that there was possession.
Yeah, Mishnah. Yeah, it was okay.
Gemara's going to answer my question.
Okay, Freik, let's go back to the original story. The original story was that the Rishoyne said, Din udvarim ein li'imach. Now we've had this Gemara already not too long ago, where the Gemara says that the words din udvarim really has no legal effect. Why not? Because the Gemara explained earlier what happens if you can go and say about something which has not come into your rishus yet. You can go and say, I don't want anything to do with that. You want to give me a present? No, din udvarim ein li. I don't want it. I'm not making a kinyan. I'm not taking it. It's not mine. However, something which belongs to you already, you cannot go and say, I have nothing to do with this. It's mine. You can be mafkiris, you can give it away as a matana, you can go and sell it. But a statement that says, dinu dvarim, I have nothing to do with this, it's not true. You do have something to do with it. It's yours. It says, Yimar, she can go and write, dinu dvarim ainli, agamza tugan, agamza nacht. But it has no legal effect. These lishonis are worthless. So the fact that she goes and says to the lekeach, so why does it say in the Mishnah, it goes back and forth? It doesn't go back and forth. It belongs to the Rishoyna because these lishonis are not effective. It's not talking about that she just said these words. Oh, metakinyan then. The Brisa doesn't say with a kinyan loy maklum. It's only without a kinyan. Metakinyan then these lishoynes work. But I have another problem. Anytime that we find that a wife consents to giving away her priority lien to someone else, we always have to be choishish that she didn't do it from her own free will. She did it because she wanted to make her husband happy. She didn't want her husband to be upset at her. The husband is trying to go and sell this property. He finds a willing buyer. The title company says, but I want you to know there's a cloud over the title on this property because there's a lien for the woman's ksuba. And therefore the buyer says, oh, no, I'm not going to get involved. Shulam Bayis, husband and wife. Oh, I'm a ksubas and dintoyrus. I'm not interested. Goodbye. So therefore the husband says to the wife, you know, Baruch Hashem, I have plenty of money and I got plenty of it up. And please just agree to waive all your rights vis-a-vis this field. So if she waives her rights, the question is that legally effective? We're going to see in a moment in the Mishnah, a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, that when she says, I am Moichel, she doesn't really mean it. She's only doing it because she doesn't want her husband to be upset at her. So she says, Nachas Ruchas Sisila Bali. Miloy Tanan, didn't we have a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin? Says, Lokach Mana Ish, V'chaz V'lokach Mana Isha. You have a person who bought from the husband, but he knew that the wife had Shibudim on this property. See, afterwards he went to the wife to go and buy whatever rights she had. So he paid her too. Mekhei bottle. Even though he paid each one and they made a kinyan, meta closing, metalis, the mekhei bottle. Why is it a bottle? Zokti Yimar Alma, because I see Yechoy Lihisha Toyman Nachas Riechas Yisalabali. I didn't really mean it. When I agreed to it, I only did it because I didn't want to have any fights at home. You have to wave, you have to be a veteran, and that's why I did it, but I didn't mean it. So that Stam Mishnah says that mekhei bottle. In our Mishnah, it says, and when she said, Dinu Dvorim Ainli Imach, Zokmendach, it's okay, it's effective. You've made a kinyan. Why is it effective? Why can't she say in our Mishnah, the reason why is because I saw my husband was very, very upset. He's trying to sell the field. The purchaser doesn't want to buy. He makes all of these legal arguments. So I said, take away one argument. No cloud on the property. I waive my rights and finish. That's why I wrote it in Dvarim. But it was really Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. This concept of Nachas Ruach HaSisil Ba'al is a machloikis. And therefore, our Mishnah holds like one man the Yomar, and the other Mishnah Masechtas Gittin holds like the other man the Yomar. Where do we find Rav Meir Yehuda? In a Brais in the Sanya. Kosav l'rishoin v'loi chosmoloi, l'sheini v'chosmoloi, ibda ksubasa divir Rameh. Now, what is this case of Kosav l'rishoin v'loi chosmoloi? The word chosma over here means that she didn't sign on the document to acknowledge her consent and the fact that she acquiesces to this.
She gave up her rights.
So the chosmoloi means to give up rights. So now, the gabba the rishoin loy chosmoloi. The gabba the sheni chosmoloi. What are the rishon and the sheni? Explains Rashi that her husband had two pieces of property. Property number one that he was selling to Rishon, to Ruvei, and property number two that he was selling to Shimon. The husband comes to the wife and says, do me a favor, please sign at the dotted line that you're maskim, that you consent, that you waive your rights. For the first guy, she said, that guy, ugh, no swafa, nobody, no goodnik, I'm not waiving my rights to him. The second guy, the shady, to the second one. Ooh, the second one, he follows in the footsteps of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, Fashem, Avad, Chosmolai, and she agreed immediately, and she signed. Fuzuk to the mayor, Ibdu Ksubas, as a result, she lost her Ksuba. Then why does she lose her Ksuba? That she loses it vis-a-vis the second one, I understand. Because the second one, she chosmolai, she waived her rights. But why does she lose it vis-a-vis the first one? The Gemara is going to tell us a little bit later, and Rashi already points out now, because each time that you have two properties left that belong to a particular individual, and then someone buys property one and leaves over property two, he can go and say, the reason why I bought property one and left over the property two is because I left it dafka for somebody else. I especially didn't go and buy everything. The Lashon HaGemara is, Hinachti lechom mokoim ligvoy seimenu. Everything you have in the Gemara always comes back. So therefore, Hinach lechom mokoim ligvoy seimenu. Aha, so what happened over here? There were two properties left that belonged to her husband, maybe two properties altogether, and the husband's trying to go and sell both of them. First property, no, loy chos malay. That lekeach, however, when he bought the property, he especially didn't buy the two remaining properties, only bought one. Because he figured, just in case this woman is going to afterwards want to go and collect her ksuba, I don't want to go take from my property. I left the property there. And the halacha is that as long as there are any bnei choyrin whatsoever, you cannot go and collect mimishu badim, even if those bnei choyrin happen to be minaziburius, they're very, very low quality types of property. It makes a difference. As long as I left over property that covers the amount of the ksuba, then you cannot take from Mishubat. So therefore the Lekeach Rishon says, the reason why I left over the second property, that be Hinach L'chamakim Ligvay Samana. And therefore, you cannot collect from me, you can only collect from property number two. And guess what? She waived her rights vis-a-vis property number two. Therefore, says Ramei, in the Kruvasa, she lost everything, both against property number one and property number two. And the Oimer, no! What are you talking about? The reason why she chos moloi on property number two. I didn't really mean it. Well, what do you want from me? I was just trying to make him happy, to give him a big smile on his face. Otherwise, he'd be frowning and be upset. I got to talk. So I did nachas ruach. So why doesn't Rameh hold that way? Because Rameh doesn't agree to this form of nachas ruach. Oh, so therefore, you ask the seder between our Mishnah here and our in the Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin, that our Mishnah, we do not say Nachas Ruach or Sisi Labali. And we say the Dinu Dvar Mitakinyin is effective. But over there, Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin, we say it's not effective. Mekhoi Batu. The Machloikis is one Mishnah is Rameh and one Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. But the obvious question is, who wrote the Mishnah in Masechtas Ksubis? Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And who was Masada the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin? Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So Freddy Mav Rebbe, Sosam Lahacha Kirameyer, Vesosam Lahasim Kirabi Huda. Doesn't make sense that he has two Stam Mishnahs where he doesn't mention any names. One is Rameyer and one is Rabbi Huda. There's a big machlokes. Is the Chayre, doesn't Rabbeinu HaKadosh, why doesn't he take sides? He can't take both sides. I mean, either Rameyer is right or Rabbi Huda is right, or if he's undecided, let him bring both Shitzes in each Mishnah. Rameyer, Rabbi Huda, Rameyer, Rabbi Huda. What's going on?
Let it not be a stop.
Exactly. Nishka stop mishnah. So stein dura meid. So stein don Rabbi Yehuda. Was tu zuchdo? So therefore the Gemara says, Yefreg zeya gutz, and I have two terutzim on Yekash. Teretz number one is the teretz of Rapapa. Om Rapapa. Begrusha v'divrei hakoil. When do you say this for of Nachas Ruach HaSisi LaBaali? Only if there is a very good relationship between the husband and wife. Or at least, potentially, it's a good relationship. But if we're already talking about a get, Rabbi say the mat is over. Aha. And therefore, in our mission is talking about that you have Taka Aksuba and you have a wife, but unfortunately this wife is already Giget from her husband. And she has not collected her ksuba yet. Okay, now before the husband pays the ksuba, the husband comes over to the former wife and he says to his wife, former wife, he says, I want to go and sell this property and please let me go and sell it. You know you gave me a very hard time during our marriage and that's the reason why unfortunately there's a get. For once, be sweet. And the wife says to herself, I better do this because who knows, you may not pay me the ksuba. But anyway, the master, she is masking. Says Rapapa, when do I say Nachas Ruach HaSisi LaBaali? Only when there's still marriage. Once the marriage is terminated, I don't say Nachas Ruach HaSisi LaBaali. She hates him and he hates her, and it's just his Levitic, and therefore you can assume if she consented, she taki consented with the ganze ganzkeit, with her total free will. It wasn't as a result of Nachas Ruach, and therefore everybody could agree to the halach in our Mishnah. So even though Rabbi Yehuda holds a Masechtas Gittin, that normally if the wife is Chosmoloi, this is Gunish, Nachas Ruach HaSisi LaBaali, if she's Chosmoloi, if she says Dinu Dvarim Mitakinyan, you can trust her, you can believe her, and it is effective even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So that's Pshat number one. Well, Faket Rav Ashi Amar Kul Rameyi, both our Mishnah and Masechtas Gittin can go according to Rameyi. Because if I add can likom remeir hasam el bishnei lekulchois the amri lo I isa de nachas ruach avdis lekami boylach lemebed avlekech achan afil remeir moide. What's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying something very, very logical and very poshut. If you go back to the Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin, says Tanan lokach mena ish. I'm sorry, the other, the Braisa, not the Mishnah. Satan the Braisa, the Sanya. You have here her husband, and the husband wants to do two closings with person number one and person number two. For person number one, nine, I'm not signing. For person number two, for him I am signing. So now the question is, if you hold this for Nachas Ruach HaSisi LaBaali, already by purchaser number one, she should have already been masking him to the... But you see that she is as a independent feminist lady that doesn't automatically do and she's not the Isha Ksheira Oyser Tzayin Bala. She doesn't automatically sign documents as a willy-nilly. When she doesn't like it, she says, no, Aloy Met an Aleph. And now when she signed by number two, that she is masking. So in this case, Dr. Meir, here you do not say nachas ruach asisa lebali. But had there been only one lekeach, and she would sign for that lekeach for chasmalot, then says Dr. Meir, I also agree nachas ruach asisa lebali. Aha. Okay. So therefore, zeh good. So when it says in the Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin, lokach mana ish v'chaz v'lokach mana ish a mek choy bottle. Why is it bottle? That can go even according to the mayor because there's only one loikeach involved. One loikeach. The wife signed for it. You think I wanted to sign for it? It says the wife. I did it because I didn't want my husband to be upset. Exactly. I was mit unser Mishnah. The reason why in our Mishnah, when she said dinu dvarim, I don't say nachas ruach asisil abali. There's only one lekeach. Zok the Gemara. Ikachusim in a seifer. It's talking about that there was a previous lekeach. Before we got to our Mishnah, Rabbeinu HaKadosh had Rachmanis on us so that the daf would be a little bit shorter, and therefore the Mishnah leaves out one key point, that it was originally another lekeach for whom she was not willing to go and sign. And now there's lekeach number two that she is willing to sign. Dinu dvarim ein li'imach met a kenyan. Oh, in such a case, you're talking about two lekuchos, then you don't say nachas ruach hasisi labali. Because when we nachas ruach, then why didn't she sign the first time? Why did she only sign in the dvarim the second time? Oh, it's the Gemara that's going to Ramei Lishitasi that says kasa l'rishim v'loy chosmolay l'sheni v'chosmolay ibdak suvasa. You don't say nachas ruach, but you say in fact it is effective when she waives her rights. So getting back to the Gemara, look to Gemara nochmo Rav Ashi mekul Ramei me'adkal kam Ramei chosam. When did Ramei say that? The Amri law, we say to her, Isa, if you really held the Nachas Ruach, so why didn't you ready for the first one go and give your Chasima and your consent? So you see, you don't hold Nachas Ruach. That Nachas Ruach, I was in the Mishnah, the cause of Leili Acher, that first he sold back another property to somebody. It doesn't mention in our Mishnah. This Mishnah is a bit schwer because it doesn't say anything about it, but you have to say
the main point, really.
Exactly.
It's not a side issue.
The safe, according to this shot. Yeah. But even according to a papa, our Mishnah is talking about a grusha. Does there anything in the Mishnah but being a grusha? Yeah, so both Morris, you have to, both pshat and have to do an akimta v'shtait nishna Mishnah. Muzalachton. Otherwise, we don't want to make a seer, buta, nasir, buta, nasir. Good. Anyway, so we end for the akash. Frank Dimar, Tanan Husam, we learned another Mishnah. Ein nefroim in a chosam mishubah. Not, this is not a kasha. The Gemara asks a shayla. And then the Gemara is going to try to be poishet the shayla from our Gemara. It's the Nanusah. We learned in the Mishnah, ein nefroim in a chosam mishubah. And we mock him sheesh in a chosam nechayrin. Vafil hein ziburis. This is what we said already before, that if a person owes money, for instance, not only by ksuba, stam a bal choyv. Every ksuba is always meant a ziburis. So this is nishka grois a chiddish. But a gabi a bal choyv, you can go and pay from a Beinonis. So what happens if you have a person who's a very wealthy individual? At one time he had 50 pieces of real estate, and many of them were idiots, mitziburius, mitbeinonis, all different types. And he sold 49 out of the 50, and he left for himself ashtikl ziburius. And now it comes time for the malva says on the maturity date, no, loive, you owe me money. And he only has this one lousy piece of property, this ziburius. He has no cash, no metaltalin. He has now this piece of property. So Loiva says, the Malva says, I'm going to collect my ziburius. I'm entitled to Beinonis. I would never touch this field. Let me go and find those other 49 properties that you had previously. After all, when I originally gave you the loan, we did a title search and we found that you're wealthy at 50 properties. So I have liens on every one of those properties for payment of my choiv. You cannot go after the lekuchos if there's still any bnei chorin afil ein ziburis, even though it's a lousy property, as long as it's worth the value of my choiv, I have to collect from there. I cannot go to the mishubad. Okay, very straightforward, very simple. Frank Dimor Iboilu, Ichabazashailu, Ishtadif bnei chori, Mao the litter mishabdin. What happens if the property that is left, the Bnei Choyrin, it's taken, not only is it ziburius, but it's ishtadif. Ishtadif means you go and faflatzt. Fafletz means it became ruined. Why was it ruined? A big flood, a big tsunami, a big this, a big that. There's no topsoil.
But what is it worth? Is it worth the amount of the chayv? That's the whole question.
Yeah, no, the point the Gemara is saying is, just like we said before, that the Gemara is going on the svara that we said before, that when a person goes and buys a piece of property, he says, I left over that piece of property. And that property at that time was worth $1 million, and your choy was $1 million, and I'll see in fine and Gutenberg. Now it comes time for the maturity date. That property, unfortunately, has gone down in value, not because of the market, the real estate goes up and down, but because of Ishtadith B'nei Chari. Can now the Malva say that I do want to collect from the Mishubanim because this property is ruined, it's terrible, it's Ishtadith B'nei Chari? Can he be turned from Bishabdi? Do we say no? That since he left over Mokam Ligvesemeno, I got to take that property. Istoshima Zogti Gimara, Kosav Lerishav Lechosmolai, Lesheni Vechosmolai, Ibdiksuvasa Divirame. Aha, so what had happened, what did Ramea say? Originally, when the husband sold the property number one to someone, she did not consent. When he sold property number two to the other person, she did consent. What does it say here in the Braisa? Says Ramei, if the Kuzavashi, she lost everything. Why Ibdiksuvasamisheini? Because she wrote Chosmola. Shabada, she was masking. And he don't say Nachas Rucha Sisi Levi like the Gemara said before, because since for the first guy she didn't sign, and she signed for the second guy, she consented, she loses property number two. But Marisha Mia Tigbi, why can't she go and collect from property number one? So we said before the reason why you can't collect from property number one is because any time you have two properties and the first lekiach leaves a second one, he can say Nachti L'cha Mokoim Ligvay Semenu, I left over something for you to go and collect. And therefore I left. Yeah, but the problem is, she cannot go and collect from property number two that he left over, because she herself said that I'm waiving all of my rights. Chosmolei. She went and waived the rights. So she cannot get from property number two. So it's as if that property number two, which at one time was the remaining B'nai Choyrin, it was Ishtadith. It now became destroyed by her own doing, by her signing, that I am maskim to the sale. And now she wants to go back to the earlier Mishubadim, the first sale. You can't do that. We said in our Gemara that said in the Mishnah, Ein Ephraim in a Chos Mishubadim, a Makim Sheishman, a Chos Menei Chayin. So I see even in the case of Ishtadith, even when that final property was lost and destroyed, you cannot go back to the earlier properties. Is the Chayin I can be poshed our Shailam? Amr of Nachma Yitzchak, no, you can't be poshed. My Ibda, Ibda Mishayni, when it said the Loshina Braisa, that Kosav L'Risha V'Lechosmolai, L'Sheini V'Chosmolai, Ibda Ksuvasa, it doesn't mean that she lost from the first one, she lost from the second one, because the second one she was masking. So you're going to go and say, that was the Chiddush of V'Shtaitach, she signed. No, Nachas Ruach HaSisi L'Bali, I would think Nachas Ruach, no. Since there were two husbands, since there were two purchasers, and she only agreed to the second one and not to the first one, says her man, no. She's a lady that takes a stand. If she's not maskim, she's not maskim. And you see, the first time she wasn't, the second time she was. So she lost the ksuba from the second, but she doesn't lose it from the first.
It doesn't say Mishani, it says if the ksuba sounds like.
And therefore,
it sounds like it's out from the Rishon.
Sounds like.
Freitach Yimura, Freitach Barry, Freitach Ruva, Omar Ruva, Shtei Chivas Vidova. Chora de Ibda, what's Shtei Ibda? Keep on going. Look at Imar. What does the Mishnah Gemara say? The Ibda Legamri Mashma. It doesn't say Ibda Mishaini. It says Ibdin Gansen. Who asked that Kasha? Rava and Barry. Ah, Baruch Hashem. V'yoytan Yechanacha Kasha. Abafedisha Braisa. Lava Mino Echot. Umachar Nechosav Lishnai. Person borrowed money. Balchayv. Yeah. And now he had two pieces of property. He sold them to two separate individuals. Because of Bal Choyv Liloikeach Sheini, just like our Ksuba situation, now the Bal Choyv wrote to the Keach Sheini, Dinu Dvorim Ein Li Imach, I am not going to touch you, I'm not going to bother you, I'm not going to nadi you, nothing to do, I'm waiving all my rights vis-a-vis you. Ein Loi Al Likeach Rishon Kluom, he cannot go against the first Lekeach either. In other words, this Bal Choyv figured, I have a lien on two separate properties. And he goes over to the second guy, you don't have to worry, we're good friends, I'm not going to chap you. I'll be able to go and collect from the first property. When it comes the day of reckoning, the day of the maturity date, and the loiv has no money, so now he goes to the keach sheni. No, keach sheni, I already promised you. Forget about it. My word is gold. I'm not going to. But now let him go to the keach rishon. The keach rishon says, chuchamana, the reason why I only bought one property and not both properties, because that second property, mokem menicha lecha ligvois v'mena, I specially left you the property.
I don't understand. If there is b'nei choyr in there, yeah, then he's right.
Yeah.
But once he sold the second, too bad. Yeah. Now the shibit is chal on him again.
Yeah.
Lechoyr, that's the logic of the thing. Yeah. That should be.
Yeah, the Gemara is telling us that the lashon of the Mishnah, ain't from the chos mishibana mokem sheish b'nei choyr, is lav dafket now b'shas the maturity when he's collecting yesh b'nei choyr. He's saying, even if now there are b'nei chayin, no b'nei chayin, because everything was sold, but you still look at the last property, which was originally b'nei chayin, and all earlier purchases of property can go and say, that was the original b'nei chayin, and you have to go against that before you go against us.
No, I see it says so, but yeah. I don't understand.
Okay, Mitchum Sachs is getting, hopefully. Okay. Yeah, Rabbi Yoina, we haven't heard anything yet from Rabbi Yoina this morning. Okay. Yeah.
I'll try to correct that. The person that has a property in the Shubit to him, mm-hmm, maybe he'll say, like, I'll swear, he says, this one, I'm letting go because it's, this one I'm not signing off on because it's idiot, it's been this.
Whatever, this, yeah, I like this property.
This one I don't have any problem with because it's a Buddhist, and mm-hmm, but I know since I have a shibud on both these properties, the labor, that's the one I don't want to collect from this one, I want to collect from, mm-hmm, that one.
Right.
He doesn't have a right to
He doesn't. And that's what the Mishnah over there tells us. Ain from and chos mishibud mokem sheish b'nei chayin, because the person that buys whatever property, as long as he leaves over one property, which is keneged achoyv, it's worth the same amount, even if it's ziburius, even if it's a lousy property, but you'll collect from there, you won't collect from me. And that's what the reason why the purchaser number one didn't buy that final property. Purchaser number two that bought the final property, it was his own, he himself caused it to himself, it's a self-inflicted wound, if you will.
But maybe he was trying to force the situation in his favor by doing that.
What do you mean?
Maybe, what was his kavana and not?
You're not buying both properties?
No, the
Baal Chayiv's kavana in waiving the second one, yeah, not the first
one. Friend?
It was a good friend of his. They were in Besmedish together. He says, "I know you're all noivis. Don't worry." The Moicher is trying to go and sell his properties. See, first the first property sells easily because the Lekeach says to himself, I have nothing to worry about. The Ganzachoyv is $1 million. I left over property $1 million. That's fine. Now he wants to sell the second property. Lekeach finds out the same problem. Uh-oh, there's a Choyv. So he goes over to the Malva. Says to Malva, I want to go and buy this property. Malva says, yeah, uncle, we know each other for the last 50 years. Don't worry. If there's no other property, I'm not going to come to you. Dinner dvarim ainli, I'm not going to chep with you. You have nothing to worry about. So Chosmul, he signed for him. So now comes the day of reckoning. He wants to go and pay the maturity date. He goes over to number two. Oh, I'm sorry, I signed. Yeah, I'm not going to check for you. I promised. I'm going to keep my word. But now he goes over to the first one. The first one says, Diyajot, you want to be a nice guy according to by the second one. Gizumtai, that's your cheshbon. But as far as I'm concerned, you have no reason to go against me because he knocked the chamok and linked with him, and I especially didn't buy that property because I didn't want to have to cough it up to you if the loiva cannot pay. Anyway, yeah,
maybe when Meshabodim in general, I think you go to the last one that was sold first.
That's
your fitness route. In other words, a guy has 10 properties, the one he sold last,
right,
that's the first
that's
one.
That's when they have the Shibud on. Yeah, that's because of this reason. But even though it's not B'nai Chayin today, but it was B'nai Chayin at one time.
Yeah, well, he destroyed it himself, basically.
So that's going to be the Gemara's text. Anyway, but Oitani, so Nochemul, we're asking Akasha on what we just said. Remember, the Gemara Shaila was, what happens if Taka the Rishon left over a nice piece of property, Aziburius, but Lamas, it was worth $1 million. And now when it comes to time of collection, unfortunately that B'nai Choyden or that last property was Ishtadiv. The question is, can you go back to earlier properties? Ma'o Litroiv mi Mishabdi. That was Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara wanted to be Poshit, and he says, very simple. Look at the case of that price, Mitrameir. Kosa l'risha v'loi chosmoloi, l'sheni v'chosmoloi, ibdiksu v'asa. Why ibdiksu v'asa? If you hold ishtadav b'nei chori, torav mi b'shabdi, even though the balchoiv, or in the case of the ksuba, even though she lost her rights vis-a-vis the sheni, because she consented. So it's as if ishtadef. Okay, I lost it, I ruined it. But why shouldn't I be able to go against the first property? Is the chasimen that even though ishtadef b'nei chori, you cannot be toyev mi mishabdi? So the Gemara gives out, nah, it only says ibduk suvas. It doesn't say ibduk suvas in gans, it ibduk suvas mishayni. Says Rava, says Barry, how can you go and say that ibduk mashal legamri mashal? V'oitanya, I have another beferish braisa, the same fact pattern, but not talking about an isha, we're talking about a balchoy. The love of an echel mach lechotz v'yishnayim, because a balchoy v'loikiach shayni, dinu dvarim ein li'imach, Ein loy alikiach rishon klum neshiyocho loymar he nachtil chamokim ligbei semenu. Why don't they go and say isak emes inachtil chamokim? Yeah, beskirecht. However, by my signing on to lekech number two, I'm ishtadif nechsi. What happened was that this bnei choyin, this original bnei choyin, has now become totally ishtadif, totally fafleitzed, totally ruined, and therefore I want to collect from you. So you see, abafeir sharai, that you cannot go back and collect. So when Remeir said before, or when the Gemara answered before, that Remeir only meant ibda legabi number two, but you can still collect against number one. Sakasha number one is, like Barry said, like Ruva says, ibda legabi mashma. But besides that, in the Feirish it says in the Braisa that this person lost ein loy lelekeach rishon klum. So I see that even though property number two was destroyed, you still cannot go after the mishubadim. And for the Gemara, I don't understand your raya at all. Both in the case of the Isha and the case of the Baal Choyv, we're talking about that they gave it away themselves.
This was voluntarily, they said.
Voluntarily! Ah, the doctor is a Tazoy Shine. Voluntarily, the person signed away his or her rights. If you want to sign away your rights, kissen die. But that doesn't affect number Rishon. The Rishon says, what does it have to do with me? You want to waive your rights, that's up to you. But vis-a-vis me, hey, nachtel chomokim ligvi semen. But the Gemara Shaila was not in the case when the person was nafshid, mafsid, nafshid b'yadayim. It was talking about ishtadav and echari, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made afafleitz and made a tsunami, made a flood. Oh, from that we have not been able to be poishit our Shaila. Freit Gemara, I can be poishit from another case. Amir of Yemel Ravashi, from Mas B'chol Yoyim. I'll tell you cases that happen on a regular basis. Let me give you a very simple example. Duhu Gavra, there was a person, the Mishkin late Pardes L'chavre, L'esher Shodim. A person gave his field, his pardis, pardis is an orchard, to another guy for 10 years as a mashkin. Now, this is not our sugya, Mitch, when we get to Bab Metzia, we'll find out there's something called mashkanta de Beisura. What was the mashkanta de Beisura? That the malva was allowed to use the mashkin and to be nehene from the payrois, and with that, amortize and pay off the debt over a period of 10 years.
It's not a question of ribbis.
Not a question of ribbis, exactly. You have a case of Lamushal, he lent him $1 million, and he said to him, you'll have this property as a mashkin, and the mashkin is not only that you hold it in a nice safe, or that you have the title document in the safe, you'll be able to go into the property and use it for the next 10 years, and at the end of the 10 years, the choiv is over. Whether or not you make every single year $100,000, 10 times 100,000 would be $1 million, or if you only make $50,000 and you lose, or if you make $200,000 and you gain, that's, you know, it's like an investment. It goes up, it goes down, but that's not considered to be a risk.
Hetiska, basically.
Exactly, like a hetiska.
Why not? I'm
sorry?
It's not
Rebus Kutzer.
The repayment is fixed.
It could be, it'll go up, it'll go down. The person could lose his pants on it.
Investment.
Yeah, it's an investment. Exactly, like any investment. Anyway, we'll mention Bumatzi, we'll learn it in much greater detail. But the point is, Zokti Yimara, what happens if Itaka took it for 10 years, and then the Kosh L'chomishonin, and then after 5 years, the word kosh is like we had Abai Keshisha, Se'alt Givarn. All of the vines of this paradise, unfortunately, they dried out, and after 5 years, the guy says, you know, I made up a deal with you to have this for 10 years. It's no value anymore. The went to Rabbanu, the Kosvale Tirfa, and they said to this guy of this Mashkin, you know what? We will allow you to go and get the payers from another Lekeach that bought property after you, and you'll be able to go and attach against those Mishubadim. How can you do that? Isn't that a case of ishtadif nechse, and you want to now be goyver from mishubadim. After all, this was a wonderful, beautiful pardes. We assumed that it was going to last for 10 years. Unfortunately, in the middle, after 5 years, it must have been some terrible drought or whatever, and all of these vines ended. And now what's going to be? You want to go and get from Mishabadim? So, I can be poshed Ashayla. Masa b'chol yoyim. You have situations like that. Then in the middle of the 10 years, and v'asla k'mayim at the bottom, v'kosel le'tefa. So you see, then you have ishtad of nechse, that you can go after other Mishabadim.
Mishabadim came afterwards.
In other words,
because it was already, this deal was already done by the time the other properties were.
When this person entered into this property, that property was still b'nei chayim, and therefore he didn't have a shibud on it then. But subsequently, the moichet, he didn't have a shibud as mishubadim; he had a shibud against b'nei chayim. That b'nei chayim was still with the person who was borrowing the money. You have the loive. Besides this pardis, he had another piece of real estate, a beautiful apartment building, corner 91st Street and Western Avenue. Good. And the person that took this property, this vineyard, as a mashkin, figured that I'm going to go to Malva. He figured I'm going to go and use it and get my 10 years from here, and I'll pay you off the chayv that way. And guess what happened? After 5 years, sky you are. In the meantime, the person that owned this beautiful property, 91st Street, sold it to somebody else. Because of the fact that the person who took the mashkin of this pardis, because he left over that property, he himself had a right to go and attack that b'nei chayrin. It wasn't mishubadim yet, at that time it was b'nei chayrin. And then subsequently, when the loive sold it, becomes mishubadim, but his shtar, the mashkin, on this pardis predates that mishubadim that he sold it to somebody else, and therefore he has the right to go and collect from that piece of property.
But it's not comparable. The second lokeach here, he's not saying as opposed to the other case, which says up to the other lokeach to say.
This second lekech that bought the other property says to himself, "I figured that too. You know, what does it have to do with me? He has already his mashkin. He already has his collateral."
Right. As opposed to the case we're talking about on the Amud Aleph.
We'll see from the Gemara's Teretz, I think it'll become clear. But the point is, the Gemara is telling us is that because his property is Kalyagivarn, he's allowed to go Mishubadim from the other property.
So would it be an investment? You could go back?
But it wasn't the form of an investment, it was in the form of a halvur.
I mean, maybe they should have known this before, maybe.
But that's the Gemara's Teretz. Zok to Gemara, so can't we be poshut? I'm in it,
right?
Gemara says, because for late tirfa, the choyer I have arrived when ishtadef nechse, you can go to the other properties. Zok to Gemara, hasam nami, inu hud afsida anaf shayu, kim de haviyare de pardesa of it, the kish, leiboilu le mizbin. What the Gemara is saying is that when the next lekeach went and bought the remaining property from that loive, and although it's taka true that there were no other choyvis out except for this one choy, and the person already had collateral in the form of a vineyard, in the form of a pardes. Everybody knows that pardesim come and go, and that pardesim have the tendency after some period of time to eventually dry out. He should have figured out that this pardes was already 10 years old, 20 years old, 50 years old, and that therefore in another 5 years, 10 years, it's going to be, its life expectancy was only another few years. This, he should have taken this into the cheshbon when he bought his property. He knew that. So therefore he shouldn't have bought it. So it's as if, like the Gemara said on the Omer Aleph, this is a case of he himself took upon himself this risk, this speculation that it might turn out that that property will become not ishtadif, that it will become kosh. So nishtadif that they're going to have a tsunami that's going to go unfaflate to Ganza Field, that's a very unexpected, unforeseeable type of thing. That was the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara is asking, you want to bring a raya from something which is foreseeable, that everybody knows that a pardes after a certain period of time it ends? Oh, you can't bring a raya from something which is foreseeable to something which is unforeseeable. And therefore we can't be poshut Ashala.
It's so foreseeable, these things, that's probably why the Mishkanta B'nai Suda really is given up.
Uh-huh.
Because people know it's a normal thing. I never entered into this agreement under such a condition.
But
there has to be.
Because
it's like unfair. It's an investment.
Yeah,
but it matters.
But it wasn't written in the form of investment. It was written in the form of halacha.
Yeah, I know, but the point is you should have known this.
Okay. Anyway, what's halacha l'maasa v'hilchasa? Ishtadif b'nei chori tarv mishabdi. That in fact, if your b'nei chori intact becomes destroyed, you can go back to the previous properties, even though he nacht al chamokam and left the property b'nei chayrin, and subsequently was sold. Makes no difference. If you lost your yishtar of nechzi, then you have a right to go be toyer from the other guys. Okay, from now, Omer Abaye, till the end of the Gemara, we're going to have very gishmak. We're going to have two halachas of Abaye, and we're going to come back, Nochemul, to the circular reasonings that we had back in our Mishnah. First, the Rishonim, the Shniyim, the Lekeach, Sebal Zal Lebedich. But that's going to be the second Abaye. The first Abaye is a very straightforward Abaye. Omer Abaye, about 10 lines from the top. Nechzi loch the achrayich leploini. You have a man that goes over, says Rashi, to a penuya, a single lady, and he says to the single lady, Nechos Eloch, I'm giving you a present of the following Nechosim, the Acharayich, and after you, Evelachie Magimura. Say it, Atayri, Evelachie Magimura. Shkoyach Bari. Achnus Zorchim. Anyway, he says to the penuya, Nechos Eloch, I'm giving you these Nechosim, but these Nechosim only belong to you as long as you are alive. After you pass away, I don't want it to go to your children or to your brothers, to your father, to anybody else. V'acharayich, after you pass away, leploini, it's a guy for your uncle. The Omda, what did she do? She at that time was still a penuya, like we said. But the Omda eventually, she got up, Venisis, and she got married. Doesn't say when, maybe a day later, a week later, a year later, 10 years later, but she got married. Now, says the Gemara, because of the Takonis Usha, which we learned back earlier on Masechta on Daf Nun, Baal Lekeach Ava, the fact that he married her, he becomes like a Lekeach. Why does he become like a Lekeach? Because after all, these are Nechsimulug, and therefore he has a right to the Peirois, but not only a right to the Peirois, he's considered to be a Lekeach, and therefore, the Ein Li Acharayich B'mokim Baal Klum. What's going to happen is, that if and when she gets married and the Baal becomes now the Lekeach, when she subsequently passes away, so everybody's assuming, at least the Acharayich person is assuming, oh, now I'm going to get the property, because Nechzi Loch V'Acharayich LePloini. No, it won't go to Ploini. It's going to go to the Baal. Why does it go to the Baal? Because he's a Lekeach. So Vos is, Kiman Ki Aitana, like the following brise of the Sanya. Nechzi Loch V'Acharayich LePloini. If a person gives a present to Yanko, V'Acharecha, after that it goes to Beryl. And you're the Rishonu Mochar. And what happens if the first person goes and sells the property so that there should not be any acharecha leploini? So vos zogt Rebbe, Hasheni moitz miyad alekulchoyz. The lekeach will get it as long as the first guy is still alive. Yeah, once you're alive, you can go and sell it. But now that he passed away, the sheni says, I'm the acharecha guy. I'm going to be moitz miyad alekulchoyz. Diver Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel respectfully disagrees. Shimon Gamliel oimer. The first person, since it's his or hers, they have the absolute right to sell it to anybody that they want. And since that sale will be effective, if there's nothing left, too bad, so sad.
Basically, it makes this whole proposition worthless.
If
because how are you going to do it? Why shouldn't you do it?
So Lemaisa Vosjok gets the Gemara. Sabaya says in this type of situation where the Penuya got the property, and not that she sold it, but she got married. And because it's a Konas Usha, the husband has a status like a Lekeach, so it's as if she sold it. So now when she passes away, the property stays with him. It does not go with Ploy.
Even though the goof never belonged to him, he's still called, is he called the Lekeach on the Paytas or on the goof?
The Lekeach is on the Paytas, is already under the Konas Usha. It's on Konas Usha, even on the Karen, even on the thing itself.
Then he's Mamash Lekeach.
Oh, does I say he's Mamash Lekeach. Therefore, he supersedes, he trumps the rights, he trounces on the rights of person number two of the Acharecha.
So the original gift, is only enforced provided no transaction occurs in her lifetime.
Exactly.
Then, provided no transaction interrupts it, then that gift would be.
That's exactly right. That's according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, not according to Rabbi. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ein L'Shenu Mashu Sheir Rishon. If there's anything which is left over, then it goes to the Acharecha Ploini. But if there's nothing left over, then nothing left over.
Should a star be written ahead of time to avoid any issues?
What do you mean?
A star should be written. Like,
can you contractually get out of this halacha over here? So you're asking, what? How can? Is there some way? You could write nechsiloch b'achrecha l'ploini, even if you decide to go and sell it during your lifetime, makes of that, or you get married, which is deemed to be the same thing. Nevertheless, it's going to go to ploini. That's where the person wrote it. We'll see that that's what the case from another few lines. We'll see the next abayah.
You could supersede this with a tanai.
With a tanai, by writing a befeish.
Without this, you mean it's yours, and if you sell it, I'm asking.
Exactly. But if he writes, I want you to know that this right is not 100% right. It's only a right to go and sell it as long as you are alive. But as soon as you pass away, it's no longer yours. You can't sell it anymore. And then it would refer to the achrecha l'plain.
But if you wrote mefurish, that's the one that gets
exactly. If you write mefurish, it's
that's
okay.
True. Then you can you could make an effective gift like
exactly.
That.
Exactly, you can, and we're going to see Taka for the next gemara. That's the case. Anyway, but at this point, the achrecha falls away because the person sold. Again, this is al tzlut Reb Shem Gamliel. So what the gemara is telling us is that Abaye, when he said that the balakeach have the ein lacharecha b'mokem bal klum, because he's sold like Reb Shem Gamliel. Because Reb Shem Gamliel is the one that said, "Ain l'sheni mashe shiurishin." Frankly, when Omer Abaye Hachi did Abaye paskin like Reb Shem Gamliel, but Omer Abaye himself said, "Ezeu Rasha Orum, who's considered to be a very cunning and sinister Rasha, zameisi eitzalim kar benachosik Reb Shem Gamliel." Anybody that goes and says to the first person, "Hey, chavruman, you don't want this to revert to the second guy, to the Arecha Leplaini. Chabanaitza, go and sell it to whoever you want. Or for that matter, if she's a Penuya, go and get married. And this way we can go and defeat the Acharayach provision in this Matana." Says Abaye Metoras Nishtan. That's an Eitzer, it's an Eitzer of an Arusha Orem, a Hagantza Russia, Nishtama Russia. This is a first class Russia, a real Russia. Izokti Yimara, Mikomati Nosei. This is Kama. Abaye didn't go and say when a Penuya gets such a property, the first thing that she should have in mind is go and get married to be able to defeat that Acharayach clause. Habadanish. Abaye is saying is that if she happens to get married, I'm not going to tell a woman don't get married just because that person wrote a matana mit Acharayach. She got married. Baruch Hashem, mazel tov, toes and men, she got a labor dick, fine. What's now the poil yoitze? What's the result of her marriage? That the Baal is now lekeach? Oh, he's a lekeach. Therefore, if and when chas v'shalom she passes away, the property will belong to him and not to the Acharayach.
But Abaye definitely said halach Reb Shem Gamliel.
Maskev.
Sish kashen izach.
Yeah, and he himself said, "Is there Rosh Harim? I'm a turachash." Zokti Moriyetz v'yomer Abaye. Now, so that Abaye was, if you will, straightforward. The next Abaye is even more interesting. V'yomer Abaye nachsiloch. Again, a man says to a lady, "I'm giving you these nechasim, v'acharayich l'ploini, and after you're done," meaning after 120, it goes l'ploini. Umechora, and she sold it. Umeisa, and she died. Habal moitzi miyad al-kuchais. We didn't mention anything about her getting married. We'll talk about that momentarily.
She was a penoya in the beginning, and she got married, or she went married?
The point is, the Gemara doesn't say it befeirish. That's why I said it doesn't say about her getting married.
Abaye didn't say she was married. Well, she wasn't married.
What you're all talking about, Mircea will address momentarily. So what did Abaye say in this halach? Nechse loch, loch again to a lady, v'acharayich, and after you to l'ploini, u'machra, and she sold it, u'meis, and she died, habal moitzi mi'ar l'kuchais. It doesn't stay with the Mochra to the Lekeach that she sold it to. The Baal always trumps everybody else's rights, like in Konas Usha, that the Baal is Lekeach Hava. And so what happens now? So the Baal should be able to go and take the property after she dies. However, the Acharayach can go and take a Miyad Baal. The Acharayach. Why does the Acharayach take Miyad Baal? Didn't we say a moment ago that the Baal's rights trump the rights of the Acharayach? Because we said that the Baal is Lekeach Hava, and he's the Lekeach Rishon, like Reb Shimon Gamliel. We're going to address that in a moment. Rabbi said, don't jump. But what the Braisa, what Abaye is saying now is, when she died, the Baal is Moitzi Miyad al-Kuchoyz, V'Acharayach can be Moitzi Miyad Baal, because the person who gave the Matana said, after you die, Acharayach. So Acharayach takes it. V'lekeach, since she sold it, that lekeach can take a miyad Acharayach from the Acharayach guy, because it's like Reb Shimon Gamliel said before, that anytime ein l'sheinu mashishan rishon, and since she sold it, it goes to the lekeach guy. And since it goes to the lekeach guy, then the Baal comes and says, yeah, but I'm the first lekeach, Baal moitzi miyad l'kuchais. And then the Acharayach says, yeah, but I'm the Acharayach, I'm going to take away from the Baal. But then the lekeach says, but I'm going to take from the Acharayach. So it's one of these choizris chalila situations. And therefore the Bez is going to go and say, don't let the wheel keep on turning forever. but leave it with the loikeach. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, and our mission said pshara. But before we get to that, we're still stuck with the question, why does it say over here that acharayach miyad baal, when the very first abaya said that when you have an acharayach and a baal situation, the baal comes before the acharayach? So the Gemara is going to ask that. I'm only addressing it now because everybody was tzikocht and I don't want anybody to be tzikocht. The Gemara is going to say that this second case is not talking about a pnuya, it's talking about a nesua. That this individual who gave the present to the lady, she was already a married lady at that time. Ah, she's already married lady at that time, that has its different status. Why does that make it any different if she was previously married or she wasn't previously married?
The earlier Mishnah, Mrs. Arusa, she sells it from Sua.
Okay, well, the first case was a Penuya case,
right,
and this is in the Sukkot.
Penuya are different than a property rights as a Mesua. We had the mission earlier.
Does Nechse Melug mean any property she has automatically he gets the Paytas?
Yeah.
Maybe a guy could exclude the Baal from Paytas.
This is Nechse, but, but what the Gemara is saying over here is that it's not an exclusion, but not on the Paytas, but on the right, on the Keren. And what the Gemara is saying is, when he wrote her Nechse Loch, the Acharayach Leploini, and she was not married, then the Halacha of Takonis Usha, that the Baal is the first Lekech, and therefore he can go and take it away from anybody else. He can trump all other lekuchos. That still applies. And therefore it won't go to acharayich. We pass on like Reb Shim Gamliel. That what? That hasheni moitz miyad lekuchos. And therefore, I'm sorry, ein l'sheni mashashia rishon. And the baal is the lekech rishon. And therefore he trumps everybody else. And he gets first. But that's if she was single. If she was married, and the person that's giving her the present ignores the fact that she is married and says nachse loch v'acharayich l'ploini, this goes to your point. Since I don't want to keep you.
No, I'll wait until the point.
No, that's all right. By the fact that he wrote nachse loch v'acharayich l'ploini, sechdu a baal. What do you mean acharayich l'ploini? There's a baal. The baal is the lekech. So therefore, it's as if he's saying explicitly, I don't want it to go to the baal. I want it to go to the lekech, and that's effective according to the second abaya. So this is exactly what you were saying before, that a person can stipulate befeirish, and our Gemara is saying even if it wasn't befeirish, if it's from the circumstances, I see that he did not want it to go to the Baal. Why did he want to go to the Baal? Because he said befeirish, nechse loch v'acharayich l'ploini. What do you mean acharayich l'ploini? I'm married to Mr. Smith, it's got to go to Smith. No, I don't want it to go to Smith. I want it to go acharayich to somebody else. So even though he didn't say it explicitly, it's implicit by the fact that she's a nesua, and this person that gave him the matana ignored and disregarded the husband, because he's saying, I don't want it to go to the husband, I want it to go to somebody else. And in such a case, the achrayach stak is stronger than the baal.
And you avoid the circular back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's ignoring the husband only after her death, meaning while they're still alive, it's his like it's hers, in other words.
He gets the pace. We're talking now about the Karen.
So he still has. That's why he still has.
That's a challenge. Right.
He still has a priority over the lekuches because.
So let's go back to the case again. So let's go back to the case.
You give the names, Reuven, Shimon.
No, while she's alive, he eats the paytas because he's alive.
It's a little indeterminate.
Nobody says he takes from the lekuches.
That's after she dies. But while she's alive,
he gets the paytas the whole time. That's not a question. Now, Gemara is talking about the reversionary interest. Who gets the keren l'achamay v'esrim?
Right. So he takes the keren from the lekuches.
Oh, so let's see. Not nochmal. It's Omer Abaye. So now we have the second Abaye. For Omer Abaye, but halfway down. For Omer Abaye, Nechse Loch, a man says to a married lady, Nechse Loch, I'm giving this chosen to you, V'acharayich, and after you pass away, I want it to go to Pliny. And parentheses, I don't want to go to the husband, to the Acharayich,
the
Pliny. The Karen, the whole Karen, everything talking about the Karen, goes Acharayich, the Pliny for Yankel. Umachar, and she sold it to Beryl. I don't want to see Uncle Barry, people are going to get confused. She went and sold it to a lekeach. And then she died. So the Baal says to the lekeach to whom she sold it, I go first. That was Takonis Usha. The Baal is always lekeach Rishon. So even though she sold it to you, you had rights to it perhaps during her lifetime. But now that she's dead, it's mine. I get the whole thing. The acharayich, now the Baal wants to go and jump on the property. However, there was a stipulation in the original matana, the acharayich, it doesn't go to you, Baal, it's going to go le ploini. So the acharayich man, the ploini man, he could take away from the Baal. So again, like we explained before, this halacha of Abaye is different than the first halacha, because the first halacha of Abaye was talking about when she was a pnuya, and therefore by not saying anything, the Baal's status as the Lekech Rishon, that trumps the status of the Acharayich. However, here, because she was already married, and he knew about the Baal, and he disregarded the Baal by saying, I don't want Baal, I want it to be Acharayich, then the Acharayich's rights are stronger than the Baal's rights. So the Acharayich man's going to get
this whole, middle part of it just seems like it doesn't make sense. I mean, the Baal knows that after she dies, he's not entitled to any of this. So the fact that it's the Konis Usha and he has rights over the Lekeach, but mm-hmm. it's not his to have rights over.
And that's what the Gemara is telling us.
Why even have that point? Why is he even getting mixing in over here?
He wants to have the property. But when it says Moitzi, Rashi says not that he actually gets it. We're going through the
Usha.
I'm sorry.
To say that he's entitled to it because of the Konis Usha.
Yeah.
Konis Usha doesn't even apply to him because it was never...
Because of the Acharayich.
Right.
Because
that's
of the Nisua.
Right. She may have had 12 other properties. Who are the other properties he's getting? Even Mitalis, no Mitalis, because he happens to be Lekeach Rishon. If she sold, it makes no difference. He gets them. So he wants to get this one too. However, the problem is that this property never belonged to her 1,000%. It only belonged to her during her life. She had it for life term. After she passed away, it now belongs to Acharayich. So therefore, the Baal wants to take me out of the Kuchais because it's Kodesh Usha. The Acharayich says, I want to take it from the Baal because that was the stipulation in the original Matana. The Lekech says, I want to take me out of Acharayich because we said before, couldn't Reb Shimon Gamliel, that even when you have a situation where you give Nechsiloch v'Acharech l'ploini, if the Rishon sells it, ain't l'sheinu mashashir Rishon, and she was the Rishon, she was the Machra, and she sold it to me, and therefore I'm the Lekech, I want to go and take it now. And the Baal says, big deal, Mr. Lekech. I'm the Lekech Rishon because of the Konis Usha. The Baal moits me out of the Kuchites. And the Reich says to the Baal, I don't care about you, Baal. The stipulation was that I get it, ich bin the Acharayich. And the Lekech says to the Acharayich, but
it ends up Mekmina Lekech. I don't know if it's like the Mishnah. The Mishnah, it's a round robin. But here it's different.
That's Igmar's Kasha. Frank the Gemara. Mekmina, what do we do with this property, says Abaya? Mekmina Lekech, be out of Lekech. We don't allow this to go on forever and ever and ever. We give it to Lekech. Frank the Gemara, Meishna Meodet Nan. Frank the Chrepinchas. Frank the Gemara. Unzer Mishnah. Mechoizes Chalil Chiaz and Pshara Meneyan. Why over here does Abaye say give it to Lekech? Let them all sit down, mit lawyers, mit rabbis and all this, and let them work out a settlement. Everything Gemara has to insul Pseida Lekulu. Hacha Lekech Udis Le Pseida. What's the Gemara saying? And our Mishnah, all three parties, the three parties are the two ladies with the two ksuvais, the Rishonim and the Shnia, mit Lekech, all of them have a real financial interest here. Financial interest in the sense that each one of them who loses is going to suffer a financial loss. Why? The two ksuba ladies, they got married on the condition so that if and when this marriage terminates, he dies or gives a get, I want to be able to collect the ksuba. By denying their ksuba, this is they're denying them these contractual rights that they've had for so many years, which they put in nechsim alug and they put in all the love and all of the nadin and alalas, and they're then going to lose the whole thing. So therefore, in our Mishnah, if you're going to go and say, give it to the Rishonah, then the Shnia and the Lekeach lose. If you're going to give the Shnia, the Rishonah and the Lekeach lose. The Lekeach paid for it. Everybody is going to suffer a loss, and therefore, let them make up Pshar B'nei. Over here, in this case, there was a matana. The Noisin gave a matana to this lady. And then what did the lady do? She sold it. Okay, so who came out of pocket? The Lekech had to go and pay for it. Now, the Baal didn't buy it. He didn't put any money on the table. He just went and married her. And she sold it to this Lekech. The Acharayich didn't put any money on the table either. The only one that is out of pocket is the Lekeach, because he's the one that paid for this property. She didn't pay anything, she got a matana. The Acharayich didn't pay for it, also matana. The Baal didn't pay for it, nobody paid for it. The only one that paid for it is Lekeach. So Tumar, in the case where it's only Lekeach who sleep, say that when you have this type of round robin, we give it to the Lekeach, we don't make the
because they're all right, but we give it to one who's more needs it.
Exactly.
Acharayich also has is it safe because he was counting on this.
He's counting on a matana.
He's losing.
Matana. A ksuba is not considered a matana. Ksuba is considered to be financial obligations. You don't get. I'd love to get matanas too.
I understood this a little like the question I was asked before. Meaning the Baal has no claim here whatsoever. That's why only Lekech has
Meaning we should just take him out of this whole equation.
Why should we take him out?
Meaning, even if you said the first time, okay, I'm taking from Lekuchas because of Tekonas Usha. Mm-hmm. And then the Achrayach comes and takes it.
From him.
And then the Keah takes it from...
From him.
But the second time around, it's like, we've already established that you don't have a right to this. Not from him, not just like...
Achrayach doesn't have a right, and Lekuchas doesn't have a right. Everybody's rights over here are inferior because somebody else has a claim that has priority over them. I have a claim over him, but he has a claim over me, and he has a claim over me, and he has a claim over me, so it keeps on going. Yes, Barry.
I'm bothered that in the case of earlier of the pardes, the vines that dry out, you say it's a foreseeable event.
Exactly.
In the case of a married woman, I understand, but a penuya, certainly at the time of the Gemara, even today, a penuya usually gets married.
No.
Why do we make a distinction between Petunia and Nesua in the middle part of the Gemara here, the middle part of the Daf? Different pieces of Gemara, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But because we say Penuya, she's a Penuya.
Mm-hmm.
But Penuya is in the anticipation she's going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially at the time of the Gemara, especially your young girls.
Let's get to the Gemara. You're asking Akasha on the Svaras that we said before, but we haven't even gotten to the Gemara yet. So now we've distinguished in our Mishnah and the case of Abaya. The case of Abaya was, since only Lekech is out of pocket, we give it to him.
Right.
And our Mishnah, all three are out of pocket in the sense that took Ksuvas of the ladies. And Lekech, therefore, Pshara, all three. Also, Rav from Om L'Shmaitza Kam Dervashi. Rafa was giving the Daf Yoimi that day, was repeating the Gan to Shifa Rabashi. He said, "Mi Omer Abaya Achi? Did Abaya say in case number two we give it to the Lekech? Vom Rabaya Nechsiloch Vachrayach Leploini Om the Benisis Baal Lekech Aba Vein Lachrayach Bemokim Baal Klum." Yet, what did Abaya say in the second case that Chrayach takes it from the Baal? The very same Abaya said a moment ago that Ein Lachrayach Bemokim Baal Klum is the Chastir, like we asked before. So what's the difference? Who cares? No. By the case of Nesua, when he said to her, Nechsiloch v'acharayach leploini, he's saying, acharayach likni, baloi likni. By the fact that he leaves out a key person in this whole relationship, he is telling implicitly, not to the Baal. When she happens to be a penuya, I don't know if she's going to get married. I don't know how old. I don't know if she's 12 and a half. I don't know if she's already 80 years old. I just know that she's single. And he says to her, to you, there's no man in the situation. If and when she gets married, we have the famous Tekonas Usha, the Baal Lekech Ava, and he takes before everybody else. How could you go and give it to the person that's through the acharayach provision? That's like Reb Shimon Gamliel. That any time you go and say acharech acharech, English enemy mashir rishon. So that was the first abayah. Over here there was a lekech already here. There was the husband, and we know that Tekonas Usha is a husband's lekech. If the husband lekech, then how did he go and say acharech? It's going to go to somebody else. Doesn't he know the first abayah that automatically it's going to go to the husband by the fact that he added, tagged on the words acharech? Lechoy, the words acharech are meaningless. If there is a husband, automatically any property that goes to her, if and when she dies, there's no acharayach to anybody. It's to the husband. The husband is married. He's going to go and take it. By adding the acharecha, acharayach, he meant to go and say, but I don't want it to go to the husband. I dafka want it to go to the acharayach, and therefore he's able to go and defeat the tekonas usha in this case by stipulating befeirish so in the matana. Good.
Yes.
Fine.
Maybe just to answer him, this itself is a question whether you could push her with the connoisseur.
Wow.
This itself is not clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's a round robin.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, the connoisseur was bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Darum says, it's not true. You can't be mavato by yourself, the connoisseur. That's all I would answer.
Good.
That this itself is a shy.
There, fine. Right. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah we said, all to have such a vicious cycle, if you will, a circle, vicious circle, vicious cycle, circle. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, what does it mean? V'chein bal choy, v'chein bal choy, v'shnei l'kuchayis, v'chein isha bal eschoy, v'shnei l'kuchayis. Now these two cases are basically the same. The isha is also bal eschoy, but not a bal eschoy in the traditional sense, but a choy, but al tzeksuva. But now, what is this case about choy v'shnei l'kuchayis? So here we have Rashi that tells us, and Rashi gives names. So you'll be very happy, Meruve.
Thank you.
Right. Look at Rashi approximately 15 lines before the end of the perek, where the Rashi begins. Yeah, you know what this is? Oh, Rashi. Reuven noishe b'shimon mona. Reuven owed Shimon 100. And he had two fields. And he sold them to two people. Now, here you don't have a case of that the second person, the first can say about the second, because here, Zuba Chamishim and Zuba Chamishim. Each one of them was only worth 50. So you needed both of those fields to cover the choiv of the 100 of the money. Aha, okay. Good. Because of Bal Choiv Lilokeach, now who's the Bal Choiv? See, even Rashi doesn't say, is it Reuven or is it Shimon? You should go in the Koi, we're talking about names. Yeah, write a letter. Okay. Anyway, because of Bal Choiv Lilokeach Sheni, Lokeach Sheni that took the final property
there's
for the Reuven, 50.
There's Reuven, of course, according to what Rashi said he was. A Reuven owed Shimon the money. It says
So since he owed money to Shimon, so it's Shimon that wrote to
right,
the Baal.
Right.
Okay. Now who's Lekech Sheini? It doesn't say. Your Uncle Beryl doesn't say. Okay. Nishkan Afkimin. But anyway, the Baal Choyv, we understand. He wrote Lekech Sheini. Dinadvarim Ainli Imoch. And therefore, I'm not going to touch your 50, your property. It's yours. Okay. Maturity date comes and goes. Reuven has no money. Shimon says, oh, I'm out of pocket. I can't go and collect from Bnei Chorin. So I'm going to go to the last two properties, the only two properties that Reuven had. And the two, of course, belong to these two lekuchos. So he goes to lekech number two. Lekech two reminds him, you got a star in a dvarim. Oh, you're right, I'm not going to touch you. So he goes now to lekech number one. At least get 50. 50 is better than zero, right? It's not 100, but at least 50. So he goes, what is the Baal Choyv? Noitel mi adarishon. V'kan ein loymer heinachti mokim shetigve menu. Here we don't say like the Omer Aleph that the Lekeach Rishon said, but I left another property, go to the other property. Why not? It's not that we had two properties 100 each, it was two properties 50 each. So everybody knew, the Lekeach Rishon knew, that by buying this piece of property, that there's going to be a time, there's the risk of the day of reckoning that he might take away my property, because it's 50 and 50. Okay. So therefore, what happens? The Baal Choyv takes away the Rishon. Now, the Lekech Rishon moitz miyad ha-sheini. The Lekech Rishon is now out of pocket. So the Lekech Rishon bought the property originally by Achrayis. He goes back to Reuven. Reuven says, I have nothing. Oh, but you have Mishabadim. Who's Mishabadim that you sold it to the Lekech Sheini? So the Rishon goes to the Sheini and says, hey, mister, even though you were Mavati your rights vis-a-vis the Baal Choyv, but you're not Mavati your rights against me, I also have a Choyv. What's the Choyv? The Achrayis Choyv, the guarantee, my money back guarantee that if I lose this property, I can take from other properties. Your property was sold after my property, in other words, it was still Bnei Chorin at that time, so I have a lien on your property. So the region is going to take it away from the Sheini. Now what's going to happen? Now the Baal Choyv says, hey, Rishon, you have another property. Gevaldik! And that property, of course, belonged originally to Reuven, the borrower. So I'm going to collect now from that property. So the Baal Choyv will be able to get both properties, not by getting it from Rishon and Sheini, but by getting both of them from Rishon. Because the Rishon took the Sheini's property and took it for himself. Ah, Sheina Masa. And now what happened? Well, the Kech Sheini goes to the Baal Choyv and says, Baal Choyv, you promised me dinu dvarim ein limna chasayach. That's my property. How are you going and taking away from me? As far as between you and me, I have the upper hand rather than you. Hachadachdu ashtar. Okay? So now what happens? And now the Lekech Sheni is going to get it. And then the Lekech Rishon is going to go to Lekech Sheni and say, ha ha, Lekech Sheni, you have to go and pay for my Achrayis. And then so Lekech Rishon will get it. And then the Baal Choyv will take away from Lekech Rishon because he said, Lekech Rishon, you have a shibit to me. I have both property. And then Lekech Sheni, so you can see, because the Chalila, Achiyas, I'm sure this goes around and around. Yeah.
Because the first Lokeach foreclosed on the second Lokeach, you have this cycle.
Well, although we're going through it step by step, it's all happening simultaneously in court, and therefore each one is putting their tinies on the table.
But my question is, to subvert this, if the second Lokeach were to say, fine, I'm selling it to you now. You're not foreclosing. I'm selling it to you.
Yeah.
By selling it, now it's not a question of foreclosing on the property. It's now something that is basically insulated from foreclosure because it's through a sale.
You're saying, and if it's a vikeach, you can go and make a gedeich.
Would that work to subvert the whole situation?
You have to think through it. Okay. You have to think through the case. We have to just figure out whether we understand the case.
How come when you say this, it keeps cycling around, and we don't just say that the whole mitzvah is different. Once he goes and takes the first... The first property. The second property. The first...
Lekech Rishon takes the Lekech Sheni's property.
Yeah, why don't we just say it's no longer between Lekech Sheni and the
Baal Choyv.
No, in the loiva.
Right, in the loiva, the bochayv, yeah.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with him.
That's what I was saying, let him sell it.
It's not happening.
You're asking that he should. He's saying even without doing it.
This is all in business. You're right.
Yeah, it didn't happen yet.
Nobody is really...
Right.
But there's a lashon in the Gemara, lafuchim atros alamle. What are we... Play games here.
The point is, they didn't actually hand it over. The Lekech Rishon, Lekech Sheni, and the Malchoyv are here at the table together in front of the Bessin. And each one is saying, I have the upper hand vis-a-vis this property. The Lekech says, the Malchoyv says, I have the upper hand because I'm Lekech. I have a lien on property one and property two. Property one I got already, so that's out of the picture. Finished. But I only got paid half of my Choyv. I want to be able to collect from property number two. But I can't go to property number two because Lekech Sheni says, I have a star. It's Dinuzvarm Ainli. Okay. So far, I rest my case, I have no time. But Lekech Rishon says, ha ha ha, but I didn't give a dinu dvarim, so therefore I have the right. I want to get that property over. It can come back to me. Oh, so now Lekech wakes up again, and he says, not Lekech, the Baal Choyv says, oh, Rishon's going to get another property, then the property belongs to me. Good, so I'm going to go and take it.
He gets it through Torah's foreclosure, not through...
Foreclosure, exactly. So now the Shani says, but the property is in my hands now. You want to take it away from me? Yeah, I don't want to take it away from you. I'm taking it away from the Rishon. The Rishon take it from you.
Meaning, as far as it's all happening simultaneously, you have but in reality, if you went through the steps, at some point, it's no longer... The shtar becomes butthole because...
The Gemara assumes that it doesn't become bottle because ultimately, if this fellow, the Baal Choyv, gets it, then the Lekech Sheni says to the Baal Choyv, Mister, remember we had an agreement that anytime I have rights to a field, and you have rights to this field, that Dinu Dvar mainly, that you're not going to go and chep it with my rights. You took it away from me. You're saying that these rights are already foreclosed upon.
He doesn't.
If it didn't happen yet, then we're okay. Then it's okay. So let's assume that we're working it out. Then the Gemara says, "V'chenish ba'alas choyv v'shnei lekuchais." The chenish is mamish exactly the same situation. Look at the next Rashi; it's the same thing. V'chenish ba'alas choyv. Shoyu lechoyv suvasa al ba'ala. Omar chashtei sadois v'shnayim. He sold two properties to two people. Vein v'shnei malkerik suvasa. Each one was worth the 50 and the 50, like we had. V'kasev l'sheni dun advarim ainly imach. Who isha mitzi meyad lekiach rishon? No problem. The lekiach rishon now takes men the sheni. And then the Isha goes and takes on the Risha. And then the Sheni says to the Isha that how can you go and do that because Dinu Dvarim? Lekech Risha Miyada. Sheni Mechazah Chalilan. It's the exact same Chesh before. Hadlach Mishoy Nosim, Lachshia Nosim, Nosim. Alman Nizayim Menechzi Yisayim Dvi Katsini Mechem tomorrow.
There was two people at the exact